Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
To thee, how great thou art. my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Thank you, guys.
But even that, there wasn't much communication, and you lost that connection, and you lost that ability to contact each other. I know for myself that technology is what allows me to stay and connect with my family back in Indiana, and my family in Kentucky, and my family down in Florida. I talked to all three families this morning already, you know, depending on where I'm at. And it's wonderful that I get to do that. And I get to see these photos and videos of my little nephews running around. And man, does my sister have her hands full. And I'm so thankful for that. So, I really am. It's great. I love it. But we can use technology to connect us in different ways. And think about those little text messages that sometimes you get for an encouragement, for that moment that you're having a bad day and someone shoots you that text. And it just, hey, just so you know, I'm thinking of you at this moment. And that's wonderful. And it can give you that little boost that you need for the day. or that opportunity to let someone else know that you're thinking of them. And it's that small moments of connection that it allows. It allows for small communications that have never been possible before. We have never been as connected in this world as we are today. I know when my brother was serving over in Thailand as a missionary for years, my grandfather, before he passed away, one time we were able to set up, and he's an older Amish gentleman before he passed, and we were able to set up a video call, and he couldn't believe that he was talking to my brother on the other side of the world, and they were seeing each other, and it's awesome on what it can do. But with all of this technology and all the great things it can do, there are side effects, and there are problems that come up with it. It was moved to the point that it has gotten to the point that we no longer actually communicate because of technology. Yes, we have those small moments, and they're nice. But when was the last time that you sat down and you talked to someone face-to-face? That you sat around a campfire or around a dinner table? When was the last time you took time just to catch up without buzzing in the background or stepping away to take that phone call or text message? You see couples out on date nights and they both have their cell phones in their hands, never actually looking up and communicating and interacting with each other. And it breaks down that connection from that one-on-one conversation and intimacy that can actually only happen by time together and the communications together. We have families sitting down for dinner time and not even talking with each other. You know, I know families that have had to get to the point, it was gotten so bad that no cell phones allowed at dinner table because it has gotten that bad. How do you expect to keep up with what's going on in your child's life if you don't talk to them? You may know their schedule, but do you know their struggles? You may know what's going on in the sense of events and so forth, but do you know what your child is worried about? Do you know what your child's friends are? Do you know the things that they're dealing with on a daily basis? Just as technology is great to be able to keep up with people, too much of it will also hurt our relationships with others. It drives a wedge between couples and families to the point that they don't communicate. Along with that, it can distract us from what God has intended for us, which is community and relationship. Throughout the Bible, God has made it very clear that community and relationship is what we are called for. It can distract us and create this false sense of unity that's not there when we rely solely on social media and technology. When was the last time that people who were online were truly there for you in real life? When you needed them. And I don't mean a simple message, but willing to walk through a mess that you're in at that moment or celebrate the wins in life. Yet we push away the real people in our lives to engage those online. We push away the real people in life to engage those small moments. You know, as Christians, we're called to love each other. Jesus actually tells his disciples in John chapter 13, verses 34 to 35, I give you a new command, love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. If our relationships are based on small interactions through social media or technologies, are we able to fulfill the law in which God has given us? The one that Jesus told us to. Are we able to show love in its full concept through technology? I want you to think about this for a minute. In 1960s is when Christian folk music was becoming popular. And there was a song that was sang, and it has a phrase in there that's repeated several times through, and I'm sure a lot of you will have heard it, and it's, they'll know we are Christians by our love, they will know we are Christians by our love. I still know that song. You don't have to be born in the 60s to know that song. It's not the size of our church. It's not about how often we attend service. It's not about how good of a Christian you are or how well you follow the rules, you know, or even how well you can quote scripture because you have memorized passages since Sunday school on. You can do all of those things, but And you can even spout off online and stand up for what you believe. But it's about how we show God's love in our interaction with others inside and outside the church. It doesn't matter how good of a job you can do on all those other things. Don't get me wrong. Remembering scripture is important. Kids, remember your scripture. It's a good thing to meditate on it, on those scriptures. But if that's all we have and we don't show God's love, it ain't worth nothing. You know, there's a gentleman by the name of Morgan who put it this way: the measure in which Christ's people fail in showing love to each other is the measure in which the world does not believe in them or their Christianity. It's the final test of discipleship according to Jesus. So another way of putting it, we are not showing Christ's love as we are called to. If we are not, then why would we expect people to believe us about our Savior? If we're not showing Jesus in our daily interactions, if we're not showing Jesus out and about, how can we expect people to believe what we have to say about him? If our words and our actions don't show Christ's love, how can we reach the lost for him? We are called to live differently. We are called to love differently than the rest of the world. We are called to live a life that glorifies God himself and that shows his love to each and every person around us. So what is Christian love? Well, Christian love sometimes is also called brotherly love. And it's shown throughout the Bible in both the Old and the New Testament. Okay? It's the willingness to put others in front of yourself. It's loving others just like we love ourselves. And it's living peacefully with our neighbors. It's to walk alongside people in those difficult moments in life, to laugh with people, to cry with people. Can you do that properly just using technology? Can you do that properly without going out and actually interacting with people? You know, technology and stuff, it can help and assist, but if we rely solely on that, we cannot fully show Christ's love to the world. It's not possible. It can assist, but it can't fully show it. Think about a text message. Sometimes I love and hate text messages. I'll be honest. I have a thing for them both ends. One, I hate having a serious conversation via text. Why? Because clearly cannot tell someone's tone. I cannot tell someone's body language. I cannot tell somebody what they're feeling inside. And so much is missed. Sometimes you're like, are they mad at me on the way they type that? Or are they just trying to say something? You can't tell. So much of communication is lost in technology, and it can't be replicated in any way than in person. I want you to think about this. In your marriage or in your relationship, if your entire communication was done with nothing but technology, how engaged would you be with your spouse, and how much would you miss if that was the only way that you communicate? But yet we do that to the rest of the world. You know, technology is changing relationships. There's even the changing the way that we look at what we call friends. Our definition of friends have changed in the last 20 years. According to Pew Research, the average number of friends someone has on Facebook as of 2021 was 338. 338. Yet about half of the American adults say they have less than three close friends in life. Less than just about half have only three. People that they can count on to walk through life with. People that will be there for them no matter what happens in life. We have a bunch of acquaintances that we call friends. We don't necessarily have a bunch of friends. Because an actual friend is a different story. Did you also know that 12% of the population has zero close friends? My heart breaks for that. It's hard enough when you only have two or three, but to have zero? They may have over 300 friends online, but there's no one actually there for them. We have so much activity online, so much activity outside of face-to-face, that we actually forget building relationships in person. We get so busy in life, zooming around, trying to do everything, that we forget to build those relationships. We're filled with many shallow moments of connections and have no real intimacy in our lives, making us feel alone so often, even though we're talking and interacting with people daily. You know how many people feel alone at the end of every night, even though they've been interacting and talking with people all day long? Our circles are wide, yet very shallow. And if you disappeared from the internet, who would still reach out to you and check on you? If you stopped texting people, who would reach out and text and talk to you and make sure you're okay? Because that person is your actual friend. You know, I think back when I had a house fire years ago, I lost everything. As I'm sitting there and I'm watching my house go up in flames, and I had friends who hit me up on Facebook, sent me text messages, you know, acquaintances, I should say, that were, hey, just so you know, we're praying for you. And that was great, and I appreciated that. But I had my true friends standing right next to me as we went, aw, this sucks. And it came down. But they were right next to me. They didn't hesitate. They drove to my side, and they hung out with me. In other bad moments of life, those were the close friends who've stood next to me no matter what I have going on. If I didn't call them or check up on them in a week or so, they were calling me. Hey, how's it going? Are you doing okay? Haven't heard from you. Those are friends. I could disappear online and many wouldn't ask, but they would. And they offered me a place to stay, and they just walked with me in that difficult moment. You know, we like to hide our online persona. We like to hide behind it. We like to hide the pain of our lives. We can't hide the problems we have in life, and it allows us to show only what we want. Think about that. Online, you can show what you want. You don't have to have anybody else. We don't have to let people see our struggles, or we can let them see as much of the struggle as we want. We don't have to let people see our pain, but we can also use that, and we can let them see just as much as we want. We're often scared that people are going to look down on us. We're scared that if we let people see the true us, they may not like us. So we like this idea of being online because we can build that bubble. The Bible tells us, though, that we are not to face our struggles alone, that we're not to face our lives alone, that we're called to lift each other up, and we're to carry each other's burdens. In Galatians 6:2, it tells us, carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Throughout the Bible, it makes it clear that we're not to walk out our life alone, that we are not intended to be alone, that we're to bring others along with us, to walk with us in everything we do. We are to carry each other's burdens. We are to show brotherly love. God did not create man to be alone, but to be in community with each other. Nowhere has it shown it good in the Bible for man to be alone. He created us a partner. He gave us our spouse so that we are not alone. He gave us our brothers and sisters in Christ so that we are not alone. And I know that can be difficult, but how can we be in community without connection? I know that connection can take time to build. It can take time to build the trust in others. None of it's quick, yet for the sake of our calling in Christ, we are called to do just that. In the beginning, it can kind of be a lonely process, and it's easy to hop online and to defer that loneliness. But when we post something, we get different reactions, we get comments. It stimulates our brain reward center. It releases something called dopamine. It's a chemical that gives our brain a sensation of joy. You know, and when somebody you really like gives you attention online and gives that little like, you can get excited, and it gives us the attention we're craving. Yet when we count on those likes and we count on those reactions online, we start moving away from real people and having real interactions with our fellow man. So if you just focus on your online and that's where you get your attention, you're going to fall short. We find ourselves craving those little highs from the attention that you're getting all the time. Even if it's shallow, we crave it. Have you ever met somebody who cannot put their phone down? Like, it's a constant down. And I'm guilty of this at times myself. I've had to delete Facebook off my phone. I've had to remove different things because it can become such an addictive thing that when you post something, you're waiting for that ha-ha, you're waiting for that thumbs up, you're waiting for those different responses. And then if somebody doesn't respond, you know, people get upset. You know, I've heard stories where a husband got into trouble because he didn't like his wife's newest post about the new thing she did in the house. And it was a very interesting conversation, but everybody else liked it. And he liked the wrong photo on someone else's post, and it just made a big mess. But we get so addicted to that affirmation online, and teenagers and young adults especially struggle with this. And I think it's because they've grown up with it. We've allowed kids online sooner and sooner and sooner. We have men and women posting pictures that they shouldn't be, so, and they're pushing the boundaries further and further all the time to try to get that like, try to get that comment, to try to feel that connection that they're looking for, that they're not getting in real life because they haven't been taught how to build an actual intimate friendship within how we're supposed to. And to have that release. You know, friendships, we do this so often because people want to do friendships their own way. You know, we like the social media, we like the technology because we can do friendships our own way. We don't feel the need anymore for actual community often. We like the idea of being able to set up our friends the way we want to do it. Instead, we like the idea of being able to do everything our way. Think about it. If we communicate only by text, you have the ability to respond to a person when you want to respond. If you don't pick up the phone, if you pick up the phone and you're talking and they ask you a question you don't like, you have to respond at that moment, whereas if you have a text, you have some time to think. You have a time to decide, is it even worth the response? You know, if you want to like someone's picture or someone's profile, you can do that. If you really don't like the person and you want to remove them, you can go and hit a little button on Facebook and they're gone. You can do it on Instagram. You can do it anywhere. You no longer want to see that person on your timeline. It's done. It's gone. You have that choice. And you don't have to face a person. You don't have to look at them in the eyes and tell them anything. You don't have to communicate. We have lost the ability for interpersonal relationships because of this. We're scared to step out and actually go get to know someone. We wonder why relationships don't work. It's because we no longer invest in our relationships. We no longer work on the intimate side of things. When your spouse is upset, we turn to social media. We turn to technology to try and fill that void instead of working on things with our partner. Think about it. How many couples do you know that when they're fighting and stuff, they go online and they tear the other one down in front of everyone? I have seen it more times than I care to. Instead of going and working out with our partner on it. We have lost the art of communication within relationships. So we build up walls and we don't let people in anymore. So how do we overcome this? How do we tear down the walls in life? How do we build those friendships? One of the ways we do it is through church. We do it through church. We do it through the body within ourselves. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25, Paul writes, "And let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching." We are called to gather as a church. I don't just mean Sunday mornings, and I don't just mean in the building, right here in this building. I mean we are called to gather with our fellow believers and to do life together, even outside of the building. We are called to pray for each other, to lift each other up. When something bad happens in life, you are to share it with your brothers and sisters in Christ. When something good happens, it's a cause for you to share it with everyone else. We are to do life together, to grow together, to show God's love. Guys, so often we forsake this part right here, and we do it because we're so scared of what's going to happen if we showed the people at church our real selves. And church, we've done a bad job of when people have come in and shown their real self, and it doesn't fit what we expect, to show them the love that Christ has called us to show. We want to build these communities. We want to be able to have that. We need to be willing to go through and be the hands and feet of Jesus to show his love in everything we do. People are scared to build those connections because they're scared of what people will find out about them. We all have weaknesses. We all have things that we're scared of. But those intimate relationships take time to build, and as the church, we should be the safest place for them to be built. We should be willing to work with each other and learn to be present with others. If you love people, be willing to do it face to face with them in whatever they're doing. Learn to be present with your spouse and kids. Be willing to put down your phone, your tablet, or your computer and talk to them face to face. When your friend is hurting, be by their side. You know, Romans 12, 9 through 10 tells us, let love be without hypocrisy. Detest evil, cling to what is good. Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Take the lead in honoring one another. If your friend is hurting and you do nothing, do you really love them? You don't have to have the right words. It's often about being present. I've gotten to do several funerals. And so often at the moment when I'm meeting with the family, it's not about the words that I say. It's about the fact of being there. And so often when they see everybody walking in, even if they don't say anything at all, it's the fact that you're there that means so much. I saw a thing online the other day that made me chuckle, yet it shows real friendship. It shows an intimate bond of friendship. There was this lady who pulled into her driveway of her friend's house. There's no backstory to it. She just pulls in, and her friend was laying in the driveway in the middle of the rain coming down on her. And instead of just going over and trying to help her friend up and moving her friend out of the way and all of that, what does she do? She goes over and she lays with her friend right next in the middle of the rainstorm in the driveway. She went to where her friend is struggling at that moment, and she laid down beside her and joined her so she was not alone in whatever she was facing. Even in the middle of that storm, she was just being present. You know, texting is one thing, but a call is better. And the best is to get in your car, to drive over to your friend's house, and lay in the rain with them. That's friendship. That's intimacy. That is walking stuff out with others. You know, there's something about being present that no amount of technology can ever change. Going for lunch or grabbing that cup of coffee with someone, opening up your home to be a safe place, can make a real difference in someone's life. Learning to be engaged with others. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, maintain constant love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. We show this love by being engaged with others. It removes that loneliness in others' lives, including ours. So by being engaged, not just physically, but emotionally, being willing to listen to others and what God is doing in their life, and sharing our struggles with others. 1 John 3:18 says, little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in action and in truth. Let us not just love in word and speech, but action and truth. You know, when a friend asks for prayer, it's great when you say, yes, I'll pray for you. You know what's even better? Let's pray right now. Grab them, pray with them right there. Stop what you're doing. The New Testament, it tells us that the early church needed for nothing because they took care of each other. That they were there with each other throughout life's good and bad moments. And they did it so well that people outside of the church said, we want what they have. We want that love. We want that relationship. Tell us about that Jesus. Can you imagine if we started doing that in our communities? That we were so present in our communities, that we stood there with others in the good and the bad, that they were like, we want that Jesus. What is that that you have? We want to experience that love. And brings us back to the first passage we looked at today, John 13, 34 to 35. I give a new command. Love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We are called to have an intimate relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to love in a way that the world knows that we are his, that we are saved by Jesus Christ alone, and that we are his children. I want to encourage you guys this week as you go out, figure out those moments on how you can be there in person with someone, that you can build that intimate relationship that you have not had in the past. Be willing to put your phone down and not just shoot a text message, but hop in your vehicle and drive over. And at $5 a gallon, that is saying true love right there. But to be willing to drive there and be present in someone's life in the middle of their storm. To not just simply say, I'm praying for you, but to stop and actually pray with them. You know, spend that time with your kids. Find out what they love. Find out where their struggles are. Don't just shoot them a text and tell them it's dinner time. Actually spend time with them. Do game nights. Figure something out. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to gather together and to praise and to worship you. Father, we thank you for calling us into community and relationship. Father, we thank you for giving us examples throughout the Bible. Father, may we just pursue you. May we just grow in you. And may we let our light shine so that our community may know that we belong to you and that they may experience your love through our actions and the way that we present you to them, that they may not question whether they are loved or not. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can we stand for the closing song?
I know all of us have different battles that we face. For some of you, today's message was something that you needed to hear. For some of you, it was last week's. But let's walk in love with each other. Let's show Christ's love as we go out into this world and remembering that each one of us face our own battles and that we can support each other and hold each other up in those moments of weakness. God bless you. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.